Thank you. So this morning we're going to talk about Abraham, Israel, and the swirling current of today's events. It's a mighty rough river out there, and the current is strong and it's deep, and it's tricky, kind of like the rivers of God. So I had prepared and put the handouts together. Unfortunately, the copy of my notes that I sent to Tammy didn't have my all the words for all the blanks in it. So I had to try to use my keen memory to bring it all back. And my memory ain't so keen anymore. So let's pray. Father, we see the struggles and the trials that are taking place in this world today. Your nation under attack, your church under attack in different places throughout the globe. And I know my heart is stirred, and many of my friends who I've been in contact with, their hearts are stirred as well. And they can be troubling, but we look to you to be our peace. We look to you to be our anchor in this present time. And you know the end from the very beginning. And we can look at the end. We know of your victory. But sometimes that looks so pale and looks so far in the distance. So as we open up the word this morning, help it to ring true to our ears and our hearts, and help us to see that which you might have for us, that which is relevant and applicable to each one of our lives. Lord, we give you praise. Amen. Amen. So you can open up your Bibles or your phones to Genesis chapter 11. We all pretty much, if you've been a Christian for a while and you've read the Bible, you've studied, you may know the story of Abram and Sarai. Abram was from the land of Ur of the Chaldees. And you can put that up, Ur of the Chaldees. And his father, Haran, said, "We're done living here. We're going to move. We're going to leave from Ur of the Chaldees, and we're going to start this march. And we're going to go," you might recognize some of these names, Tigris, Euphrates. "We're going to march all the way up here." And they got to this place that they wound up calling Haran. And they stayed there for a little while. That trek, that little trek that they took, was about, say 600 miles, and they probably averaged back then about 20 miles a day. And they left, it says here in Genesis chapter 11. Now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Isach. Sarah was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan, and they went as far as Haran and settled there. So they spent a little bit of time in that city of Haran. There was a whole entourage. We read this story, and there were a lot of people that went from down there all the way up. And they were planning on getting over here to what's called Canaan land, to get all the way over, which was another, from Haran to Canaan, was about another 500 miles or so, between 400, 500 miles. So about 1,100 miles of traveling with this group of people. And I've never been over in this area, so I don't know. Why didn't you just go this way? Well, because you need to go this way because there's water, and you need to have the water to survive. And I don't know how accurate that particular route is, but when someone is called, when you and I are called to leave one place and go to another, to step out in faith, we don't do it alone. We might think, okay, I'm going out there, I'm going to do this. No, Jesus, remember, he sent them out two by two. He wants us to work together. That first line is companions. He wants us to have companions when we go out to do the work of the Lord, when we go out to follow the vision that he's laid out for us, when we receive what he has. We're to go out with companions. If they had gone out, if Abram and Sarah had gone out alone, who knows what trouble they would have run into. You know, it's kind of like pioneers coming from the East Coast into the Midwest and then traveling through the plains and through the desert of the West, getting out to California and Oregon and up in the great Northwest. You know, they had to travel in groups for protection. They had companions. And that's what the Lord would want us to do, is to work together, not to do this thing on our own. At age 75, in letter B, age 75, Abram was called by God to take everything and leave. So when he was 75 years old, 75, you know, a lot of us think, okay, it's time to retire. We should have been retired long ago by the time we're 75. Some of us may be knocking on that door, you know, saying, all right, I got one foot in the grave here. It's time to get off this rock. But at 75, Abram is called by God. And that next letter is calling. Abram had a calling by God to leave Haran, to take those people that he had drawn to his side, people in his family, people in his group, his entourage, to leave from Haran and travel down to Canaan land. God gave him a vision. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in all you the families, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So God gave Abram this promise. And remember, it said that his wife Sarah was barren. They didn't have any kids. He's 75. She's a little bit younger than he is. They have no kids. And yet he's saying, "I'm going to make you a great nation." You know, we know that. We see. You know, that was going to take a miracle. In letter C, where Hagar, Sarah's maid, becomes pregnant with Abram's son Ishmael. This one is challenges. The letter, the word there is challenges. Abram and Sarah had this promise that they were going to have kids. And Sarah was getting impatient. In Genesis 16, it says, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, 'Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her.' And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan." So he's 85 at this point in time. "Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, 'May the wrong done to me upon you be upon you.'" So here's Sarah wanting to have a child. She can't, so she gets a surrogate, and her handmaiden says, "Abram, Hagar, you guys go do what they do." And then she gets upset. It's like, wait a minute, you sent me in there with her. You said she was going to be my wife, and we're going to have that. You know, I won't go into any kind of a, I don't want to sound misogynist or anything like that, but she made him do it. That woman. Hi, Tammy. How you doing? Now, the angel of the Lord, after Hagar was kind of belittled and hated, I'll just use that word, hated, by Sarai, Hagar left. She just went off. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring." This is Genesis 16, verse 7. "By a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live in to the east of all of his brothers. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God who sees, for she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore. Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Ishmael is one of the ancestors of Muhammad, of that whole group of Muslim, Arabic, the Arabic community. And this prophecy here of he shall be a wild donkey of a man, people will be against him, he will be against people, we see that being played out today in the news. We see that taking place here, right in this region here. And a lot of Muslims live to the east of their brothers. This whole region, this whole Middle Eastern region, there's a lot of Muslims in that place. But there are also a lot of Christians. And many Christians, we've probably heard the stories on the news, maybe we've seen the pictures, there's some pretty horrendous things taking place over there. Christians being tortured, being told to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. They're being beheaded. They're having their hands cut off. They're being tortured. It's real stuff taking place over there. And I don't recommend it, but I've seen the videos of some of that stuff that's going on right now. And it's pretty horrendous. But it's something that the Bible says will happen in the end time. Do I believe, you know, we're always in the end times. Do I believe Jesus is coming like imminently? I don't know. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, but we're to watch the times, we're to watch the seasons. And we see this thing stirring up again. A lot of similarities between now and 100 years ago at the start of World War I. There's a lot of things very similar that are taking place. There's a lot of Muslims up in this region here in Turkey. And over and down in Indonesia, down all the way down through there. A lot of Muslims in that region. Challenges. Abram and Sarai were facing some challenges in that. They couldn't have kids. So at the age 85, Sarah says, Abram, go ahead. And then there's more challenges. There's going to be a lot of challenges in our life. In letter D, names are changed to Abraham and Sarah. Promises are made. That word there is changes. I've talked about this several times in the past, where with like Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord during the night. And it says because he wrestled with God, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, which means wrestles with God. God changed his name. Here, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's grandfather had this encounter with God, and his name was changed. No longer will you be called Abram. You'll be called Abraham. And from what I have understand from my past learning is that ha has to do with the ruha, with the Holy Spirit, with God's Spirit being upon Abram. becoming Abraham, having that encounter with God, and his wife Sarai becoming Sarah. The same thing applies. When you and I come to Jesus Christ, there comes a time, as it says in the book of Revelation, that he gives to us a name that only we know. He calls us by the name that he has given us. We may see ourselves as weak, as hopeless, but he would call us a victor. He would call us strong. He would call us warriors. He would have a name for us that's different than the name that we maybe take for ourselves. He also changes the way that we move, the way that we walk. He changes our character if we allow him to. Some of that change comes about real slow. It's coming about real slow for me because I just kick against the goads. I don't want to. In Genesis chapter 17, it says, "Now when Abram was 99 years old," so from 85 to 99, "the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless.'" Talk about a challenge. "I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly." Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, now, if God came and like talked to you like physically like that, you know, oh yeah, okay. No, I think falling on your face is kind of a given. "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations." He goes on and says, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Down in verse 15 it says, "Then God said to Abraham," Genesis 17, verse 15, "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her.' Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, 'Will a child be born to a man 100 years old?' But God said, 'No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year.' When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abram." So here you have two brothers, same mother, or same father, different mothers, in Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael is given a promise to be a great nation, right? There's going to be 12 princes that come forth from him. The Muslim world, the Arabic community that come from him. Then you have Isaac, a great nation. And there's this promise that God has given Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that through them all the nations will be blessed. But there's going to be this struggle. There's going to be a fight. There's going to be issues that take place. And we see that playing out right now between Israel and the Palestinians. Between a fringe group, right, of Muslims, whose charter says they want to see the extermination of all Jews and everything Jewish, no Israel. That's talked about. We're going to talk about that a lot next week from the book of Revelation and the book of Ezekiel. But I am by no means an expert in eschatological studies and times. But we're going to take a look at it together, regardless, just to see what's there. Letter E. The word there is chosen. This is Zechariah chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. And I'm going to go down to verse 8. verse 8 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." The angel of the Lord says to Zechariah that I am going for you. I am going for Israel. He's going to fight for Israel. Whoever touches Israel touches the apple of God's eye. And as I've looked that up, it's essentially the pupil. You know, that I do not like things going, I can't wear contact lenses. I can't. I mean, some of you probably wear contacts and you have no problem getting up there and doing that thing. But having something get that close to my eye just kind of freaks me out, you know? So, but God says, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. And we've heard that, you know, it's not a saying, I think, that is as common as it was maybe 40 years ago. Oh, he's the apple of my eye, you know? She's the apple of my eye. It's really precious. You know, a father speaking of his daughter or of his son. But that's the kind of jealousy. That's the kind of love that God has for Israel. And it's not just the nation. It's not just the land. Patrick came and asked me this morning, Patrick and Shane, if I think that Israel is just that land. And it's not. It's the people. And you and I as Christians have been grafted into that vine that is Israel, that is Messiah. And so when one of us suffers, the other suffers as well. And we see this struggle taking place amongst our brothers and sisters and amongst those who don't know their Messiah yet. They don't know their Messiah. But God is protecting Israel. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But we'll get to that in a second. Letter F, the Lord is exceedingly jealous for Zion, for Israel and Zion. And that's the one that I forgot what the word was. Been racking my brain trying to remember it. Such is life. Zechariah 1 in verse 14, it says, "So the angel who was speaking with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion." He's a jealous God. He's like a pit bull. You know, I have seen parents in this congregation, as small as we've become, but I've seen parents go after those who have gone after their kids in one way or another, you know, different levels that one person might speak out against their kid, or there might be a physical thing against their child, and the parent rises up and they're ready to fight. It's like that mama bear thing, you know, that we hear about. It's like just ready to go. It's like, you don't talk like that about my kid. You don't do that to my kid. You don't touch my child. Yes. You know, that's a good word right there. Yeah. That's a good word. Champion. Yeah. In fact, that might be the word. I'll look when I get there. So. So I'll have to update the file for Amelia to post it to the podcast and church blog. I don't know. Yeah, just pick words. Just pick C words, you know. Chocolate. Just that's a good one. Chocolate. Candy. So, corn. No, not corn. That's me. So he's exceedingly, which, you know, exceed to be. Okay, I'm jealous. I'm jealous. But I'm jealous plus one. You know, if you're familiar with the old Spinal Tap movie, you know, our amps go to 11. God's jealousy goes, it's greater than 10. He turns it up, and gloves come off, and he's ready to go. And I know, you know, from the book of Revelation, you know, it talks about the four horsemen getting ready, and then Jesus coming on that white horse with his tallit with on his thigh is written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he has his double-edged sword. I just picture that horse just getting ready, you know, like you know, doing that thing that horses do. You know, I can't do that. But they're doing that thing and just getting ready. It's like, come on, let's go, let's go. You know, and the groom is over there with his, you know, getting the saddle ready and all that kind of stuff, just getting ready to put it on there. And I don't know, it just kind of looks that way to this guy. It just kind of looks that way to me. Letter G, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the peace of Jerusalem is Christ. It's Christ Jesus. He is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And that word peace, again, we've talked about it before, it doesn't mean the absence of conflict. There's always going to be some kind of conflict, you know, from the small little, you know, petty things that really don't matter to these great, great conflicts where rockets and missiles and bombs and homicide vests are being worn. And we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for the peace of not only that city and for that land, but for peace for the Jewish nation, for Israel, around the globe. For the people, they're being persecuted. Christians are being persecuted. If you take a look at the news and you see what's going on in places like France, you know, wow, in London, you know, where people are protesting in the street. They're protesting against Israel. In the U.S., you know, people have become sympathetic to Hamas. Wow, do we have it upside down. Shem, where Semitism comes from, Shem, one of the sons of Noah, you know, that's the root right there. So it's like, because Shem is one of those in the genealogy of David and Jesus and all. But that's where that anti-Semitism comes from, that word. A little bit of etymology for you, just very little. But yeah, there's some denial going on in those in the church and those who are, you know, want to be neutral. And I don't think we can be neutral. You know, God, remember Joshua, you know, when he visited by the angel of the Lord, and he says, whose side are you on? Are you for us or them? And he said, neither, I'm on the side of the Lord. God, believe it or not, God loves the people in Gaza. God loves the people who call themselves Palestinians. He does. And he even loves those people who have sided with the group Hamas, who want to see the death of his people. But he will not. He will not bear with them for long. You had a question or a comment? Yeah, there's a lot to the whole story, you know, at the end of World War II and the UN and all that to do with Israel. But remember, God is a God of love, and we're to love our enemies and pray for those that persecute us. So regardless, you know, and I've seen some, like I said, I've seen some of the videos of the torture and the executions that have taken place, and it is just amazing to me to see how calm and how at peace these martyrs are. When they're challenged with their faith. It is just wow, I don't think I could be that strong. You know, I'd probably start crying like a baby at it. It's a powerful thing, though.
Yeah.
You know, remember in Proverbs it said that, you love your enemy and you pray. It's like you're heaping the coals, the fiery coals upon their head, which is really a blessing because you're giving them fire. You know, back in those days it was kind of hard. There were no matches, no lighters, you know, no pilot light where you go turn on your gas and boom, there it is. You need to have coals. You had to have some method of starting a fire. So they would, that picture of giving fire even to your enemy so that they can cook, so they can clean, you know, all that stuff that they need to do with stay warm with fire. Letter G again is Christ. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my family, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. And that's important, to seek the good, not to continually focus on the negativity, not to continually focus on what's bad, you know, that root of bitterness that can creep in, you know, some of the vitriol, some of the things that I see on Facebook and different, you know, reading different news accounts and seeing videos and reading the comments. Just the hatred. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, Christian, this is stuff that's supposed to happen. Don't get too uppity about it. Pray that the people who are being persecuted, who are being challenged, will have the strength to endure. You know, pray for each other, that we would have the strength to endure, the courage, the boldness. Those things. We're in pretty tough times, pretty perilous times, pretty tough times, but God knows the end from the beginning. He's not surprised. He was in no way shocked when this stuff started happening, and a lot of it's been going on since the time of Abram. And hey, Amelia, is the other slide there? This will kind of give us a picture of where Abraham started down here in Iraq. And I know we've got friends who've been to Iraq. You know, we have friends in our church, people who've gone over there and fought, who've been wounded, people we know who've lost their lives fighting for a people, for freedom for a people who many of us see as very ungrateful. And I would say there's a number who are grateful. I believe there are. But then we can't change a culture. We just can't change a culture. Only God can do that, right? I can't change a heart. Only God can do that. But we see he went through Iraq, up through Syria, got real close to Turkey because they had to eat. Right? Well, not that kind of Turkey. If they would have gone to Hungary, right? No. And they come down here close to Lebanon into Israel, what is now Israel. And to me, to see the ancient map and then to bring up the current, it just brings it home for me. That the fighting has been going on there for centuries. For some 3,500 years, give or take. That's a long time. It's a long time to be at odds with one another. So, Father, this morning we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, your city of peace, the word shalom, Salem, your peace. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would come and be our peace here today. Be the peace of our brothers and sisters who are facing great trials as their faith is being challenged, being tested, being called into account, and they're being asked to renounce you, to speak against you. Lord, I pray that you be with the people of Israel. Though the world is rising up against them, it seems, just pray that you would be their strength, and would you turn their hearts to their Messiah. For Jews in that region and around the world, would you just do that work to turn their hearts to their Messiah, to you, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Help us not to fear, but to keep our eyes focused and fixed upon you, to look up because our redemption draws closer and closer with every passing day. Have your way upon us, Lord, through this week. Help us again to keep our eyes on you. We give you all praise and all glory. Glory to your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Thanks, y'all. Be blessed this week. And take an eye. Take some time and look at the news. You know, see what's going on out there. If there's something that your eyes see that you can't handle, shut it off. Sometimes cartoons are better. Sometimes the cartoons are better than the news. But anyway, y'all be blessed, okay? Yeah. Yeah, you can't go wrong with the bunny.